Watford kickoff.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.
So nearly 2 months since Tony Bellew beat David Hay for the second time. What's next in his boxing life and career? Let's catch up with Tony once again. Morning, Tony.
Morning, guys.
Right, so the David Hay fight 2 months ago. Does it feel like that? Have you contemplated it much? Or was it just one of those signposts you've got past and you've reset your focus now?
Yeah, I'm happy it's over. I don't know exactly what I said I'd do when this saga first started. I said I'd retire them, and you know, it's exactly what I said happened. Boxing's not a sport where you can take 2 years out, come back, well, 3 or 4 years out, and then come back and expect to be anywhere near back to your best. So, but he's had a fantastic career. So, you know, it's humbling and very, I don't know, I'd say satisfying to be able to do what I've done in such a massive fight. But, you know, people still are not going to give me the credit that I deserve. You know, all of a sudden now it's, when I beat him the first time, it's all, you only beat him because he was on one leg. And then now I've done what I've done to him and the way I've done to him. And now people tell me, oh, well, you know, you beat an old man. So you can't really win. But I'm not really after credit, to be honest. As long as me bank balance says that I've done all right, then I'm happy. You know, I've got the best belt in boxing.
You called it a saga, Tony. Did it feel like that at times instead of just a straightforward sporting occasion?
Yes, it was draining and it was tiring. And it just felt like it was never going to end, especially when he pulled out of the December fight. It was I was trying to not get myself emotionally involved in the fight, in the build-up in any way, shape or form. But once he pulled out in the December, I was then. Because I wanted to make him pay. And I think it showed in the last fight. I was just a different fighter. Don't get me wrong, I've shown throughout my career that I learn an awful lot when going into rematches. I've had about 4 rematches in my professional career, and I've won every single one massively. You know, the rematch is something that I learn from my mistakes, and I don't repeat the same mistake twice. And I found that's one of the biggest strengths I've had going through my professional career. So I was just over the moon to get the job done, and you know, there was no controversy involved. It was just a knockout, and it was vicious, and it was brutal.
Has he spoken to you since then? Did either of you rung each other? What can you tell us about that conversation?
Once he hung the gloves up, you know, I gave him a call, and he gave me a call back once it quieted down for him. We had a good chat, to be fair. I just want to let him know, you know, I was very thankful and grateful for him giving me the opportunity the first time. And I think he was kind of feeling that way about the second fight because, you know, he never anticipated it happening, what happened to him in the first fight. So, appreciative of each other, to be honest, Steve. We've needed each other at this stage of our career. Me, I needed the big fight against the elite name. And David needed a mouth who could drill up massive pay-per-view numbers. And, you know, I played my part and he played his. So, we both kind of need each other at the stages of our career.
It's been one of the most sort of gripping sports stories that we've had as a country for quite a few years. The fact that there was two fights sort of made it even more compelling, if you like. As you say, you both worked to each other's strengths, but what you had was a surprise package, which I don't think he ever imagined. Did he ever sort of own up on that sort of front to you?
He said to me, and he's also said in his statement, his retirement statement, that Tony Bellew, whether it was now, whether it was 10 years ago, would have been a nightmare for him. So I was very, I don't know, I was shocked by that, for him to come out and say that. But it's a simple fact of styles make fights. He thinks I'm at the best stage of me career. He thinks it's the best I've ever been. My defence is on point, my power punching is on point. I found my true weight. And like I say, for him to, for someone like his caliber to say that it's either been a problem for him 10 years ago or even now, it made me feel, you know, I was happy, because when your peers say things, that's what really matters the most in boxing. It's when a real boxing man will never, or a real fighting man will never really care what the people outside of the circle say. You only really care what your own peers say. And I suppose it might be similar for footballers, I don't know, but if your own peers respect you and they can say something like that, then you know you've done okay. So, you know, it's very humbling to hear a man of his calibre. I'll always look up to David Hay, in all honesty. You know, he's a fighter who I admired growing up, watching from afar. He's somebody I sparred, you know, 12, 13 years ago now. And like I say, he's someone to look up to, mate. He's the former undisputed cruiserweight champion of the world, the only man to have all the belts at once since Evander Holyfield. And then he's the former heavyweight champion of the world and beaten him, and not just once, but twice.
Now, your passion and hunger for the sport is as sort of vibrant and burning as bright as ever. So I know there's more fights in you. You know that as well, despite the fact you might have said a few times, well, I don't know whether, you know, you move on from here. But of course, everyone wants to see another British showdown now, Tony.
Yes.
And clearly, you're one part of that. The other part of that is Tyson Fury. So straight away, is this a fight that can happen?
It is. It is a fight that can happen, but this doesn't rely on me. It relies on him. He's come out and he's the one who said, you know, I'm not fighting Tony Bellew. He's a cruiserweight. I'm not fighting Tony Bellew. He does nothing for me. Whereas the guy who's just fought Safari or Safari, whatever his name is, was just an absolute joke. You know, so it's all on him. I'm the guy who's just beat, you know, the former heavyweight champion of the world. I'm the guy who wins against all the odds on numerous occasions. Tyson Fury's done it once in Dusseldorf in Germany, but, you know, I don't believe we're ever going to see that kind of form again, if I'm being totally honest. And I think he's staying well cleared of me, because you've got to look at it this way, Steve. If Tyson Fury loses to Anthony Joshua or Deontay Wilder, then it can be a simple thing of, oh, well, I've come back and, you know, I'm struggling to get back to the form that I had, or, you know, this or that. If he loses to Tony Bellew, it's a disaster and it's over. Mm. It really, really is. So I understand how he's looking at me and the dangers that I possess. But ultimately, this is what the fans want to see. And does he really want to do it with me? I don't believe he does. I just think I'm a risk, a huge, huge risk, and a step too far for him at this stage of his comeback. But, you never know. The public demanded enough. I'm sure it will happen. But it'll be interesting to see me.
I mean, you would have completely dismantled Tyson Fury in the condition that he was in against Sefa Safari. It was something of a joke, wasn't it?
Oh, it was ridiculous. It really, really was. It was embarrassing for the sport. It was embarrassing for Tyson Fury. It was embarrassing for everybody involved, to be honest. You know, picking a guy up at a weigh-in like he was a baby was just so embarrassing. It was cringe-worthy, mate. And listen, I've not been sick.
Oh, Tony, we're just slightly losing you. Just shift to the side, see if we can reconnect a little bit better.
Sorry, guys.
There we go. Go on.
I don't usually use the word, you know, like I'm using there, but it was cringe-worthy. It really was. Picking him up at the weigh-in, kissing him before the fight. I mean, I didn't know whether it was a boxing match or an episode of that programme, Love Island. it was insane. So he needs to get back to doing what he does well, and that was beating good fighters that once upon a time he has done. But that was a long, long time ago. You know, you've got to look at this. His greatest win of his career is the most boring heavyweight title fight of all time, and that was him against Vladimir Klitschko. It was two guys in the ring, ballroom dancing, who didn't want to know on the night. And then after that, his best win after the Klitschko win in Dusseldorf is Steve Cunningham, who, believe it or not, is a cruiserweight. So we just see where it goes. If this has got legs, then it will get there. But I just don't think Tyson Fury wants any part of me, guys. I'm a risk too far. And he's looking at, you know, big, big money against someone like, you know, your Joshua's or your Wilders. I don't think he will face anyone with any... You represent any kind of danger at all until he gets to one of them two.
Tony, just explain the timeline for the general public who probably don't understand how a fight is made. How does it get to the point where you would both agree that this could happen? It might give us some sort of idea of a time frame as to whether it could happen or not.
Well, when David A pulled out in December, I met up with Tyson Fury and wanted to make the fight there and then. But he wanted time and stuff like that, so... It's a difficult one, Steve.
You would meet Tyson yourself, or would you expect your promoter to talk to his promoter?
At this stage, that now, then, you know, my promoter or my management team will speak with his management team or his promoter, and we'll see where it goes. But there's so many complications. You know, you've got to understand and remember what you're dealing with. You're dealing with the most unpredictable man probably in the world, the whole of sports. This is a man who could get you away and just say, you know what, I don't feel like fighting. It really is. So, you know, you've got to be very, very careful of what you're messing around with when you're messing around with Tyson Fury. Like I say, very, very unpredictable. And we'll just see how it goes. You know, I'm happy to do it. I've come out here and publicly said I will fight Tyson Fury, no problem at all. The rest is on him.
A couple of years ago, you might have had a question mark over whether it was a suitable matchup for you, physically, whatever. You've grown so much as a heavyweight. Presumably, you understand a lot more of how you would address a Tyson Fury and how you would overcome any issues that he would have to pose to you.
Yes, without doubt. Tyson Fury is a man who is a good fighter. But the thing is, he's slower than me. He's not as strong as me. The only advantage he has is size and weight. And that isn't very hard to combat in the world of boxing, especially when you've got a boxing brain like I have. So it wouldn't be very hard for me to beat him. I actually just think I would blow him aside within 6 rounds. Yeah, I really do believe that, because I would get on the inside of his punches and I would let rip. And there's no way his body would be able to take what I can throw in it. I really do. I really believe that 100%. It's one thing dancing around and prancing around in the gym, but it's another thing when 10-ounce gloves go on and they start cracking you around the jaw, and he's too big to miss. He's much slower than me. I'm believe it or not, me, I'm the bigger puncher going into that fight. I'm a bigger puncher than Tyson Fury, which is crazy to say because he's got such a weight advantage. But punching is about technique, and this is probably, well, you know, technically with the punching side of things, he's probably the lightest puncher in the heavyweight division.
It would be possibly one of the biggest all British fights ever, wouldn't it? If it came off,
it'd be massive, mate. I think we could do Wembley, no problem at all. I mean, I think we could do Wembley for the press conference alone. If he comes as Batman, I'll just come as me, and we'll see, mate. We really would. It would be absolutely huge. But like I said before, Steve, this one lies with him and not me.
I think sometimes the demand is the force at the end of the day, and if there's enough pressure, then he has to succumb to it. I presume in your mind it's only either him or Andre Ward, is it? Are those the only fights that really interest you, Tony?
They are, really. And I don't mean to nitpick, but they are, yeah. I don't know. I like the Usyk Gassiev winner, to be honest. The winner of the WBSS, I really do like that fight, but then it has to... It's not just about belts anymore, Steve. It's about the financial gains as well, and I've got to look at that. And if it's X amount of fight, the winner of the WBSS for all the belts, and then it's X amount of fight Tyson Fury, but that X amount is 5 times more than it is the WBSS, then I've got to take that into consideration. Because, like I said, in years to come, when you've got to pay your mortgage off, it's a shame to say that, and I go to the bank, guys, you know, I've got the IBF belt here, the WBC belt, the WBA belt. They just go, I don't care, mate. Where's your money for your mortgage? And that's just the way it goes. And I've got to take that into consideration. You know, I realise, understand why I fight, who I fight for. And the financial gains are a big, big part of it. Now, boxing is business, and I've learned that over the years. It's no longer a dream story or a dream finish, because I've had that. I've fought at Goodison Park, I've had my dream belt, and I've achieved that part. So now, as much as I want to beat good fighters and fight the best, it's also about what do they bring to the table and what's the financial gains also. So, you know, you become a businessman when you're in this sport long enough.
Although a sellout at Wembley Stadium could be rather attractive, couldn't it? Maybe mid-2019, if you were lucky?
I prefer to happen this year, mate.
Yeah?
I made certain promises to me other after that I'd try and knock it on the head, but I like that fight, and then we'll see where it goes, mate. I just don't know where it's going to finally lead me, but one thing I do know is, mate, it'll be exciting as long as I'm involved.
Tony, always lovely to catch up. Thank you very much for your time.
This is The Kickoff
with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk.
Radio City Talk.